Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath.
He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties.
He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
I'm Sean Hayer, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
It almost looks like thousands of bees near the Muhammad Ali Center knew something. Sunday in Louisville, Kentucky, a swarm of bees settled in a tree close to a memorial for Ali, who died Friday. During his boxing days, Ali was famous for saying he could float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. The Texas Department of Transportation would like to know who keeps hacking into its electronic highway signs. Sunday, a sign in Cedar Springs read, "Gorilla deserved it," obviously referring to the 450-pound gorilla fatally shot at the Cincinnati Zoo last month. Three other Dallas construction signs have also been hacked in recent days. Rescue crews in Mississippi are working around the clock trying to reach two miners who remain buried after a gravel pit collapse. Officials say the men were engulfed in a wall of sludge while operating a dump truck Friday in Crystal Springs, located just outside Jackson. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
The U.S. Navy is imposing a drinking ban on sailors serving in Japan. The order came down after a U.S. soldier was arrested for suspicion of drunk driving on the southern island of Okinawa. He was involved in a car crash that injured two people. Off-base liberty has also been suspended. More than 18,000 American service members are stationed in Japan. Thousands of Kanye West fans are disappointed after the hip-hop star's surprise concert in New York City was canceled Monday morning. Huge crowds began filling the streets outside New York's Webster Hall after midnight when word of the last-minute show went out. What some witnesses describe as near riot conditions that included people jumping on top of cars forced promoters to cancel the concert. Sometime around 2 a.m. Eastern Time, Webster Hall reps tweeted, "There is no late show at Webster Hall tonight. Please get home safely." The president of Turkey wants women to have more children.
President Erdogan urging Turkish women to have at least three children, saying a woman's life was incomplete if she failed to have children. They're trying to grow Turkey's population. The president emphasizing he was a strong supporter of women having careers, but says this should not be an obstacle to having kids. Erdogan, a pious Muslim, repeatedly annoying feminists and women's activists with his comments on sex and family planning, once describing birth control as treason. For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
This is USA Radio News, powered by Western Journalism.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. The weather today, sunny with a high near 83. West winds, 8 to 10 miles per hour. And tonight is going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 62. There's going to be southwest winds, 5 to 7 miles an hour, and it's going to become calm after midnight. Tuesday is going to be a chance of showers between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m., and then a bigger chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. In between that, it'll be mostly sunny, if you can figure that out, with a high near 82. Light west winds increasing to 8 to 13 miles an hour in the morning, and a chance of precipitation is 30%. Tuesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m. Be partly cloudy with a low around 54, west winds 8 to 11 miles an hour. And precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch is possible. Wednesday, chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 a.m. And partly sunny later on with a high near 71. West winds 8 to 18 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. Wednesday night, guess what? Chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m. Be partly cloudy with a low around 49, and precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, but could be possibly higher in the thunderstorms. And if you look as far away as Thursday, it's supposed to get sunny.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we have with us today Paul Hutchinson?
Hutchins.
Well, I'll get it right eventually. And Paul is a program coordinator for CPR. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
For the Center of CPR and Public Access Defibrillation.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute.
A little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, really. Better you saying it than me. And anyway, the Hunterdon Medical Center is the hospital here in Hunterdon County in Flemington. And it is CPR week.
Correct.
Okay. Before we get into that, I always ask people how they got into this line of work. I've gotten people say, oh, I wanted to do it since I was a kid, which is fine, you know. Others have said, well, I was married, I had a mortgage and a car payment, and I needed a job, and here I am, you know. And that was 10 years ago or whatever. And I laugh when the people say that because I had four kids and the mortgage and a car payment and real estate, you know, taxes and a job came along, and I took it and was there for, I don't know, 18 years, something like that. So how did you, Paul, get into this line of work, per se?
I actually I started out as an EMT, almost straight out of high school.
Okay.
Been an EMT for just about 10 years now. And
whereabouts?
I've rode for local rescue squads. Okay. Also was paid for a little while with a company in Somerville.
Okay.
I ended up hurting my back and was no longer able to ride. So through looking for another line of work, still kind of helping the community, I came across teaching CPR classes. After I taught for a little over a year, the director at the time offered me a position at the hospital as the program coordinator. The position opened up, I applied, and I got accepted.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Now, what does a program coordinator of CPR do?
So I do most of the daily tasks, answering the phones, handling course paperwork, getting the classes together. We hold roughly 6 classes a week.
Really?
So, yeah. Wow. So we're pretty busy. And then on top of that, I also manage, or should I say oversee, 50 AED programs throughout Hunterdon, Somerset, and Warren counties.
All right. I love synonyms there. What's an AED?
An AED is an automated external defibrillator. So what it does is it, in the sudden cardiac arrest event, an AED is used to shock the heart and hopefully bring the person back into a normal rhythm of a heartbeat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, you say that you do 6 CPR classes a week?
Correct.
How long is a class? I mean, is it one class for 3 hours or?
Depending on the course they take, it's varied between 2 to 4 hours. We have a very basic course that you don't get a certification for. A lot of new parents or grandparents will take this course just in case anything was to ever happen to a family member.
Okay.
That takes about 1 to 2 hours. The more in-depth certification courses are roughly 4 hours, and it's all in one day.
Okay. Now, but say older people like me, actually, I did take a CPR course twice, actually, going back a few years now. but if, say, I wanted to take a course, and it would be like you said, for grandkids or whatever, or somebody in the family or whatever. Having taken them so long ago, I don't know that I'd even remember how to even correctly do it, you know? So if I wanted to take a course, what would I have to do?
It's actually pretty simple. You sign up. We have a couple of different ways, either through our website at hunterdonhealthcare.org, or you can give me a call directly at the Center for CPR. And then the course itself is a video-driven course. It's very easy. You get some hands-on experience. There is an instructor involved, so they help you, guide you with any mistakes that you're making. And you feel pretty confident by the time you're walking out the door.
Like, I know the last time I did it, they had like a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And you practiced on, you know, the dummy.
Correct, yeah.
You know, and, you know, it was interesting because, you know, like, you know, you had to, you know, put your hands and where to put them and how to do it and how hard to do it. And, you know, so it's very interesting. And I think that, you know, it's awesome because you never know when something might happen.
Absolutely.
That, you know, you need, not in your case, you were an EMT and, you know, all that. So you have the experience, but a lot of us don't, you know.
Absolutely.
And the little bit we learned in the military is not going to carry over, you know. It's a little different, you know.
Absolutely. And CPR has changed quite a bit in the last 10, 15 years. So anything that's been learned in the past may not be correct at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And just in Hunterdon County, there have been a number of cases where people have suffered cardiac arrest and survived thanks to people that know CPR.
Right.
So it is a very vital skill that people, I feel, should know.
Now, the old age course, for lack of a better word, not the one to be certified, but just to learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the cost of that?
It's $25 per person.
It's not bad.
No, not at all.
Because you, that way you learn and, you know, who knows, you could save a life. You know?
Absolutely.
You know. Where are they held?
We're right outside of the hospital on the corner of Sand Hill and Route 31.
Okay.
It's the same vicinity of where yesterday's Treasures is, which
yeah,
is also
right,
by the hospital.
Right, right. That's the thrift store that they expanded.
Correct. Yep.
And you're there?
We're the next building in that same parking lot. It's
oh, okay.
The old Sun Bank.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Okay, interesting. Now, What is hands-only CPR?
Hands-only CPR is a very effective way for the untrained bystander to help in any way possible. The American Heart Association started the program, I want to say it was around 2008. I may have the year off by one or two. And they realized with the science that even just doing compressions on someone in a cardiac arrest was very important and helped keep that blood flowing until someone with more advanced training could take over. So they started that initiative. They've put out quite a few commercials. You can go to their website and find it within a 60-second video. You can feel pretty confident in how to do hands-only CPR. It's two simple steps. It's calling 911 and then pushing hard and fast on the center of the chest.
Like up here or in the...
Right above the tip of the breastbone.
Okay.
And you push it about 100 to 120 beats per minute. The Heart Association's big to-do is the song Staying Alive. If you think about that song in your head and keep that beat, you'll do compressions at the proper rate.
And if you don't know that song, you just...
Might want to learn it.
Might want to learn it is right. Okay. I know you had said what CPR stands for, but my mind is like, you know, it's already lost. What does it stand for again?
CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Okay.
When a person experiences a sudden cardiac arrest, their heart no longer beats properly. So performing CPR actually maintains that blood flow, and giving breaths will also give that blood oxygen to keep your organs and your body vital for an extended period of time, rather than someone who doesn't receive CPR.
Okay. Some people don't have a normal heartbeat.
Correct.
I'm one of them.
Okay.
That's fact. It's, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. It's fact. And, you know, it's like my heart will beat, you know, and so and you have somebody like that and they have a episode or whatever you want to call it, you would do it the same way?
Correct.
Okay. So it doesn't matter that their heart is skipping a beat here and there or whatever, or is not beating the way most people's normal heart beats.
Not at all. You would still do the compressions continuously, 100 to 120 beats per minute when performing hands only. And the science behind it is maintaining that rhythm will continue blood flow through your body, and then taking those breaks for breaths obviously stops the blood flow. So that's why they want that quick of a compression to get that blood flowing back to a quote-unquote normal rate.
You know, I know it's important, and you know it's important for people to know CPR. Say someone like myself who, I can't even remember how long ago it was that I took the classes, but it's been many years. And something happens, and you're there. I don't know that I'd feel confident in myself to do something like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
Absolutely.
You know.
It's definitely a scary thing. The training that you receive does help to build that confidence. You do get a lot of experience with the mannequin. So you know what you're doing by the time you walk out of the class. And, I mean, God forbid you don't feel comfortable and you don't do it. You're not really legally in any trouble for not doing it. You're still learning it to try to help. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. Can't fault you for it.
No, but you got to live with it too then, you know.
Absolutely, you do.
You know. And which would you rather do? Do it wrong, you know, or not do it at all, you know? So I don't know. It's it would seem to me that if you're in a crisis like that, that you do something.
Yeah, you and know? Anything is better than nothing. I mean,
that's the way I look at things.
Even
you know?
If you're not perfect,
right?
Helping
right.
is helping,
right? And I mean, I remember some of the things that they you know taught us back. Many years, and it's been many years. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking that you know, man, do you hold these all day or at night, or when are these classes held?
Depending on the course that you would want,
for, the old man's course,
for
you
example,
know?
The old man's course. Typically, we hold those the third Friday of every month from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay,
but throughout the week, we have. The Heart Saver course, which is for lay rescuers, the general public who needs it for a job or for school. We hold those roughly 5 to 6 times a month, either Mondays or Wednesdays. And then the healthcare provider course, which is a little more in depth,
mm-hmm.
We hold that roughly 3 times a week, both Mondays and Wednesdays, with some Tuesdays thrown in.
Okay. So, but the simple... "quote unquote simple one is Fridays from like six to eight.
Yep.
The third Friday of the
third
month.
Third Friday of every month.
Okay. What do you? Curiosity of just my curiosity. How many people do you normally get to one of these classes?
The basic course. It's actually called Family and Friends. Typically, we do fill those courses with 6 to 8 people every month. And throughout every course, we have at least 4, if not 8 people in them. I mean, we do fill our courses pretty regularly.
Now, the old man's course, okay, not to, you know, linger on it, but you said there's a film that is shown?
Correct.
And... an instructor's there to help that person or that people to go through.
Yeah. So it's called, it's called a video driven course where the instructor is there to facilitate and assist the student while they watch the video. So the video will show you how to perform CPR and then you practice on the mannequin with the assistance of the instructor to correct hand position or make sure that you get breaths in, so that you're doing it properly.
Okay. And, like, when you're doing it, you're just, like, pressing down and pressing down and pressing down and pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because if you figure, you're talking about 120 or so.
100 to 120, yeah. It's pretty fast.
It is pretty fast. So you'd have to be pushing, you know, pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about 15 seconds for 30 beats, which when doing conventional CPR... it's 30 compressions to 2 breaths. So within the 15 seconds, 15 to 18, depending on your rate, you'll have 30 compressions in. You'd give 2 breaths, and then you'd go back to your 30 compressions.
Hmm. Okay. What should somebody look for if they think someone needs CPR or, you know, or needs help, you know?
So, for CPR itself, you would perform that on a unresponsive person who is not breathing. If they are breathing, they don't need CPR, because if they're breathing, then they have a pulse. It's assumed that if they're not breathing, they don't have a pulse, at which time you would perform CPR.
Okay. And what's the easiest way for... people to determine whether they have a pulse or not?
The easiest way to determine a pulse would be a brachial pulse check, which is right carotid, which is right in the groove of your neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right. Okay. Yeah, it would make sense. I mean, you know, you should, because a lot of times, just because someone, you don't see them breathing, you don't, you know, doesn't mean they're not breathing.
No, but for this kind of for the lay rescuer class, and especially the old man's course, they recommend that if you don't see breathing,
mm-hmm.
which is nasal flare or chest rise, you do perform CPR. So obviously you check for responsiveness. You tap them, shout, ask them if they're okay. If they don't answer you, you're going to look for breathing for about 5 to 10 seconds. And if you don't see anything, you're going to start CPR. If that's not the issue, you're still trying to help that person.
Right.
And CPR is a really good way to try to help.
Yeah. Oh, it is, actually, you know. It's just, you know, it's just I just feel that, like you said, if you do it and the person doesn't need it, you're not hurting them.
Correct.
You know, it's like.
Yeah, the likelihood of hurting someone doing CPR is extremely rare.
Right.
I mean, you may crack a rib or two, but if they need CPR, a broken rib is better than a loss of life.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, you said AED. What is that again?
An AED is an automated external defibrillator. So, again, it's a device that's used to shock a person's heart who is in a cardiac arrest. What the most basic form, I guess, your heart knows two things, to contract and expand. And that's how your blood flows throughout your body. When you go into a cardiac event, your heart is not doing that properly. It's not expanding and contracting in the normal sense. So an AED comes and sends a shock through the heart, and it's kind of like a jump start. It's like, hey, wake up. And its hope is to get that heart to completely expand all at once, and then the next thing it knows to do is contract. And then it goes back into that expanding contract rhythm where you'll get a normal heartbeat again.
Is that like, poor example, but like Chicago Med, and they use these pallets and they say clear and they...
That is actually an AED.
Okay. That is what that is.
That is what that is.
Okay.
It's a AED that's called a crash cart. Most hospitals, actually right. All hospitals have them. Some doctor's offices even do. But they are they're a more advanced AED, which does require some additional training.
Okay. But that's what that is, basically. Then.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you see that on television all the time when you see these medical shows, you know, and they stand back, you know, clear, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and even with the AEDs that you'll find in your local supermarket or your mall, you would have to do the same step of making sure everyone's clear before you shock the patient, because if someone is touching the patient, there is a possibility that that other person will receive the shock instead.
Mm, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. That's very interesting, actually, you know. No, I mean, you know, you don't think of that, you know. I mean, I often wondered why. I thought maybe, well, because of the electricity that they, well, never thinking that if they touched it, that they would, you know, they could receive the shock instead of the person that it was intended for.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting, you know. Now, you said supermarkets and so on, so places like that have these AED things?
Absolutely. They're pretty common nowadays.
Really?
A lot of the churches through Hunterdon County have AEDs. Hmm. I assist in the medical oversight of those AEDs. All gyms, fitness centers.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
Airports.
You know, I can understand a gym and a fitness center because, you know, somebody's working out and all of a sudden they, you know, have an attack. I can understand that. I just, you know, in a supermarket or a church, I just, you know.
You never know. I mean.
Well, that's true.
It could happen to anyone.
Sure. That's true. You know. Yeah, it's just. And you said the airports, too. Well, that would make sense because they have many, many people coming through the airport.
Correct.
You know, so. It's just interesting.
There's even some car dealerships in Hunterdon County that have AEDs.
Wow.
So they're pretty prevalent.
That's amazing. How did CPR come about to have its own week? Do you know?
I don't know the entire history behind it getting its own week. I know that there was a push to raise awareness and try to get more people trained. A lot of places will do certain promotions or hold events. The Heart Association actually has a tour that goes around the country, and from state to state, mm-hmm. they'll hold giant events where people can just come in and learn CPR, and it's a blast. We're trying to get that for Hunterdon Medical Center for 2017. The Heart Association will be coming through New Jersey with that tour, and we're in the works with trying to get them to have a stop here. Be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Be interesting. You know, now, do you offer certifications for children? And
there is no age requirement to learn CPR. The only requirement is a skills test, which requires you to perform proper CPR on an adult mannequin, which is roughly 55 pounds of pressure to push the adult mannequin's chest down. So as long as your child can push pretty hard, then they can perform CPR, and they can get certified.
That's interesting. Yeah. And there's no age limit on adults, is there?
Not at all.
Okay. That's, you know, I just find it very interesting. I really do. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, and we've been talking about CPR and AED, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
instead senior care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got
a friend. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. Compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Paul Hutchins. I said it right?
You said it right.
All right. Hey, I'm getting better. One out of two. Who is the program coordinator for CPR at the hospital. And we were talking about various different things. And I skipped over a question that I thought, or that Paul thought was important to ask. So I'm going to go back and ask it. Why is it so important for someone to know CPR?
So the likelihood of someone having a cardiac arrest incident is quite high. Roughly 350,000 people have an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest every year.
Wow.
In the United States. And about 70% of those 350,000 are in homes. So that's your wife, your mother, your child, where you're the only other person there that knows what to do until more advanced training gets there. And unfortunately, out of that 70%, about only 46% do survive because not a lot of people are trained. There's a lot of training that's out there. There's, like we said before, the hands-only CPR, it's 60 seconds of your time. If that's the only thing you know, that's wonderful. If you want to come through us and take one of our courses, we'd be more than happy to help you further. Because those numbers are pretty astronomical, and
they sure are.
See them a lot lower, a lot lower.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, that is a large amount of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, when you stop and think about it, you know, if you're in your house or something, you know, your home, and you know, how many people just collapse, you know, and.
And, I mean, we're pretty fortunate in Hunterdon County where emergency responders are fairly quick.
Right.
But
But they may not be quick enough. I mean, even if they're quick, you know?
Even if they're quick, it's estimated that your survivability drops about 7 to 10% every minute that passes after an event. So if even if 4 minutes after the event happens, EMTs are there to assist, that's 40% chance that you've lost.
Right.
I mean, that's huge.
Sure. Absolutely. If you took what we've been calling the old man's course, actually what it is not being certified. It's just you're going to take it to learn.
Correct.
You know how to do it for family and friends. How long is that good for? You have to go back every couple of years, or
with that not being a certifying course, there's no recommendation as to how often you should take it, because it's more for general knowledge.
Okay.
The certification courses are good for 2 years.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just curious because I know when I took it, you were certified and you had to go back and, you know.
Yeah, I guess we would recommend 2 years on the non-certifying course, but it's your personal preference because it's your personal need. So if you still feel comfortable after 2 years, then that's great.
And if you didn't use it.
If you didn't use it, I recommend coming back.
Coming back. No, seriously, you know, because, you know.
Absolutely.
I have trouble thinking what I did yesterday, let alone, you know, 2 years back. You know what I'm saying? It's just.
Yeah, I mean, even in the hospital settings, the science has shown that if you don't use the skills after about 3 to 6 months, you start to forget those skills.
Sure.
So
sure.
Retraining is great.
Yeah. No, I can understand that perfectly. You know, I mean, because it's something that, you know, it's not like making a pot of coffee, which, you know, you may do every day, you know. It's a lousy comparison, but, you know, forgive me. But, you know, seriously, so you make a pot of coffee, everybody, you know, you could almost do it in your sleep because you've been doing it for so long or whatever. They'll do it a lot of times once a day, sometimes twice a day. You take this CPR course, and if you don't use it, 18 months, 2 years, you know, maybe a little hard to remember exactly what to do, when to do it, where to do it, et cetera, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. You'll get a little fuzzy, and that's where the hesitation will definitely come in, because you haven't used those skills in such a long time.
Right.
You're not comfortable.
No, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's scary because, you know, you're talking about a life, you know. And
could be a loved one, too.
Could be a loved one, you know, which is even more scary, you know. I know that we touched on what can you expect during the certification. But, I mean, they're watching a film and then they go and practice on the dummy?
The way our rooms are set up, they're pretty spacious. We're fortunate we've got some room.
Yeah.
Where you'll probably be paired up with another person. You watch a video. The video breaks down each skill individually, where it's just your compressions. They show you how to do it, and then you practice it, and you'll take turns with your partner. And then they show you how to do breaths. You practice that.
What do you mean by breaths?
Giving someone a breath. So opening their mouth,
okay,
their head back, and it shows you everything. Where to put your fingers, how to hold the head, make sure you don't tilt it too far back. And then the instructor is there to assist you with any difficulties that you have. So it's...
You don't do this on the partner, though, do you?
No.
No,
you do it on the mannequin.
Okay, that's, you know, I was pretty sure, but, you know, who knows? Things may have changed over the years, you know.
That'd be a little interesting.
Yeah, it really would.
But no, and for the certification, if you're unable to perform it in the quote-unquote generic way of getting on the floor and doing your compressions. If you have any limitations with bad knees, bad back, we do elevate the mannequins. You have any other issues, we will bring you back a second time where you can be flexible.
If I had both my knees replaced, mm-hmm. I have trouble kneeling.
Okay.
In fact, my doctor, the surgeon that did it, says don't kneel. If you're going to kneel, kneel on a cushion about that deep. But, you know, you say, okay, you elevate the dummy. But what about in real life? I mean, it's you may not be able to elevate the person.
In real life, you may not be. And, I mean, for those incidents where it's in the home and the person may be in a bed, they recommend taking them out of the bed and putting them on a hard, flat surface such as the floor. So, yeah, in a real situation, you will have to get down. But for the purposes of you learning those skills and getting that certification and feeling confident, we try to assist you any way we can.
Okay. Yeah, because like I say, I always have to put a big cushion or something down if I have to kneel down for something, you know.
And you're more than welcome to bring the cushion.
You have a babysitting course?
We do.
What is that all about?
So we just restarted it. It was a course we offered years back. We've gone through our material, kind of modernized it a little bit. And it's aimed towards children ages 11 to 15. They'll learn the basic child care, changing diapers, interacting with different age children that they may be babysitting, how to entertain the child while the parents aren't there, as well as you will learn some basic first aid skills. You'll be able to go through the Family and Friends CPR course. Again, that's the non-certifying course, mm-hmm. but you'll still get some experience. And then we also go into babysitting as a business, where you can build your resume. You learn the questions to ask the parents. It's an interesting course. Our first one is this Sunday. It's an all-day course. And we're really excited to start promoting that again.
What do you, how many attendees do you have? I mean, well, not so much that it's going to be on a Sunday, but what is like
the magic cutoff number?
Yeah. Or the minimum, you know. Is there a minimum?
As of right now, there isn't a minimum. And there isn't a set maximum.
Okay.
Because we've just restarted the course, we're kind of learning as we go in that sense where we're starting small, and if we feel comfortable with those numbers, we will grow it into larger numbers per class.
Okay.
So, for example, the course this Sunday, we have 4 registrations so far. We'd love to get some more, but that's what we've got for now.
What was the age?
11 to 15.
Okay. Now, you said you instruct them in how to babysit?
We show them the skills of how to babysit and what they should do properly, such as not talking on your phone or checking text messages your whole time there, actually interacting with the children, what not to do, such as using a stove or leaving the kid alone in a bathtub. A lot of just the basic things that mm-hmm. kids need to know.
Right, right. And, yeah, it's, you know, a lot of times that, you know, babysitters don't interact with the kids, you know.
Absolutely, especially nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Especially nowadays is right, you know, if they took their texts away from them and all that, they would, you know, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, we show them activities to do, proper board games, depending on the age of the child, so that they can have fun while they're mm-hmm. working.
Right. And what did you said something about teaching them to run a business about it, or?
Correct. It's called babysitting as a business. So you can build your resume off of parents that you've already babysat for. And there are some people or some children out there that actually look at it as their own empire, where they have parents that call them to babysit frequently. And we teach the children how to gain those clients that are confident in their skills.
Interesting. If someone, how would someone want to, you know, if they wanted to get certified or whatever, or take a course, how'd they go about that?
So again, they can go on the 100 in Healthcare's website. It's 100inhealthcare.org/CPR. That sends them directly to our page. It breaks down each of the course descriptions depending on what they want, and there's a calendar for the year. They can register right there on the website, or they can give us a call at 908-788-6614. And they'll typically get me directly, and I can go ahead and register them right there on the spot.
Okay. Is there a screening process before you register them, or...
I do ask a few questions. I mean, if someone just says, I want CPR, I'll ask you, do you need it for work, school? Do you just want to know it? Are you a new mom? I mean, those are important things to know so that I can get you in the right course.
Right.
But as far as a screening process, no.
Okay. Well, you know, basically you're asking, you know, why they want to take it, you know.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, you know.
I want to make sure I get you in the right course. So
right, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, do you find – all right, let me ask you, why did you stop the babysitting course, if I can ask?
There was an issue that occurred, and the hospital felt that it was a it was in our best interest to revise our course.
Okay.
And since that revision, we've got the approval from the hospital to
start it again. Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. That's interesting. You want to give the phone number and the email again?
Sure.
Please.
It's, phone number is 908-788-6614. The hospital's website is 100inhealthcare.org/CPR. And then our email address as well is CPRinfo@100inhealthcare.org.
Okay. Why don't you just tell us again the dates of the classes, what days they are, and
so the healthcare provider course, we run every Monday and Wednesday, either in the day or evening. The family and friends courses, we have every third Friday of the month. And then the heart saver courses, both first aid and CPR, we hold around 5 to 6 times a month, varying from Monday, Wednesday to Friday. We try to fit it in where we can.
Okay. And the babysitting is on Sunday?
The first one is this Sunday. And then once school lets out, we do have them coming, I believe, 2 to 3 times a month during the
okay.
week.
Okay. Now, when they take this, they take it like it's the one class? And
it's one class. It's a full-day course.
Okay.
During the summer, I believe we're starting it at 8:30 or 9 a.m., and it runs until 3:30.
Okay.
Once the course is over, the children have an option to stay for a building assistance program where for an additional fee, the children can stay and get assistance building their resume, learning
cool.
those questions, sitting in mock interviews
right.
so that they're comfortable by the time they get on the street.
That's interesting. That really is. Yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for being here, Paul. It's been, to me, it's been very informative.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I think that I'm going to have to come back in the near future and take that old man's, I mean, the friends and family course, because, you know, it does help, you know, I think, because you never know.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know people who have just, you know, collapsed and, you know, who knows, they may have been able to be brought back and may not. You don't know.
You don't know unless you try.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think it's great to know, you know. So I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
And, you know, thank you for coming on. You've been listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. And I'm Larry Cartwright and your host. And I hope you all have got something out of this and take the classes, whichever ones, whether it's the old man's class like I have to take or it's not an old man's class. I just use that. It's a course for people who are not going to be certified, but who just wants to learn in case their loved one, something happens in their family.
Correct.
Okay. We'll see you again next week. Same time, same station. And thank you for listening. Take care of yourself.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tammy Rose.
Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are making a final push for votes in California ahead of Tuesday's primary.
Hillary Clinton's campaign manager expects her to lock up the nomination on Tuesday.
We're going to come out of Tuesday night with the delegates we need for her to be the first woman nominee on a major party ticket in the United States.
On Fox News Sunday, John Podesta saying Clinton is fighting hard to win the California primary to lock up the nomination. Polls showing a tight Democratic primary.